Welcome to Fantide, the podcast for all those complex and complicated conversations about the gray areas in our lives.
I'm your host, Travell Anderson. I know you love me, you missed me.
And I am Jarrett Hill, doing this incorrectly, trying to make these things work. Coming up on the show this week, we are doing a special A segment for a reason that we'll explain a little bit later, but we're going to be talking more about Chris Brown. I think we've mentioned him a number of times on this show, and it's just about time that we do it. So that's going to be coming up in the fan side. But first, we're going to talk about digital blackfishing.
Oh, Lord,
black,
Jesus.
I'm sounding like you now.
Wow.
Digital blackfishing and the theft of black creators. Go ahead.
All right. So a couple weeks ago, we had a convo on this very show about boycotting. Little did we know there'd be a boycott of sorts in the news cycle involving black content creators on TikTok. That's what I call TikTok, FYI. All right. I'm sure you've all seen it. You know, a black child creates a dance or a new term or something. It goes viral. And then all the white boys and girls and thems do it. But it's only the white boys and girls and thems who get the followers, the features on the Ellen show, or even a chance to dance with one of the Jimmys on late night TV. All right. Meanwhile, that black content creator who created, you know, whatever this viral craze is singing that shoulda, coulda, wouldas. That's my quote from Sister Act 2.
if you identify the references, it really kills them. You get that, right?
Well, I bring along the whites that are listening who may not just be cued in.
Listen, they're going to have to Google. So, come on now.
Anyway, in protest of sorts, black TikTokers went on strike, collectively agreeing to not create a dance to Meg Thee Stallion's latest song, Thought Shit. As a result, the whites are now online with no choice but to show their lack of rhythm and seasoning salt. All right, they're struggling, to say
now,
the least.
To be clear, seasoning salt is something that people cook with. Is that correct? Listen, I heard about this and I did not fully understand it until like kind of digging into the stories about this. We're doing this conversation like in part number one, Jordan, this was Jordan's idea to have this conversation. And I was so intrigued by like reading about this and recognizing like how big of a problem this is, because I'd heard this as like a conversation for plenty of folks for years, right? Like, oh, you know, the white people are stealing things from TikTok on TikTok from the black folks. But I didn't realize like how pervasive of an issue it was. Mm-hmm. And then reading about it and seeing the ways that they are, the black TikTok creators specifically are, you know, not creating content, not creating dances in protest. I'm kind of like, I had no idea this was this big of a deal, but I'm excited to see them all kind of banding together in this way.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And there also was a story earlier this year, maybe it was late last year, that talked about just kind of the difference in career of black content creators as compared to their white content creators, even though these black content creators are, you know, the ones coming up with the dances. It's the white content creators who are really getting the, you know, the accolades or the attention or the money or the deals from it. I believe it was a long form article in, it was either Forbes or Business Insider that like delves into kind of the racial disparities. But I'm also reminded of the digital blackfishing, you know, conversations of a number of years ago, right? Which, you know, people were talking about, you know, the white folks, usually women who would like tan themselves or put a certain filter on their images to make it look like they use pink lotion and wear a bonnet to go to sleep, you know?
Go to bed. I not wear a bonnet to go to sleep. Okay, so, but this is also one of those things where we've seen this happen everywhere else forever, right? So one of the things that I enjoyed over the time that we've been away, I had some friends recommend this show called This Is Pop to me, right?
On Netflix, right?
Yeah. And it is a docuseries that kind of digs into the different pop phenomenons over the years. And the very first episode is on Boyz II Men. And I was like, that's interesting that Boyz II Men gets like a whole episode. But when you watch the episode, it's incredibly interesting the way they talk about how the show is, about how Boyz II Men really was what started something like NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, 98 Degrees, and all of those bands that then came in and really, you know, overtook the popularity of Boyz II Men. Boyz II Men had like a good solid 5 years. And then all of those bands came in and all of them would say, like, we are, you know, kind of modeled after Boyz II Men. Boyz II Men is our inspiration. We love Boyz II Men, blah, 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 blah. Jordan is saying the erasure of New Edition. But like, it was interesting to me because like, we've seen this happen so many times. I'm doing some work right now around Living Single, and the friends. I feel like I'm becoming Wendy Williams.
She's got a point. She's an icon. She's a legend, and she is the moment. Now, come on now.
Yeah, like, I'm doing some work right now around Living Single and Friends, and like the ways that we've, you know, plenty of people have heard, but like, you know, Friends is kind of a knockoff of Living Single and had all of this success. They got all of this money. They had all this attention. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Living Single was there the whole time, right? And so it's just an interesting thing to see this happen again and again and again on different platforms, time after time after time.
Yeah, and I think that there is a... I mean, I think I'm really happy to hear that these Black, you know, TikTokers in particular are you know, banding together. And they're like, we're not gonna do these dances so that y'all can take them and get the $15,000 from Shutterfly on the Ellen Show when I could use that $15,000, you know, or whatever the case may be. And then on the digital blackfishing of it all, you know, I think we know that, like, you know, white folks, you know what? I heard somebody on the internet once say that white culture is so boring, that's why they always trying to come take ours.
I mean, I've actually heard like critical analysis around that, right? Like how whiteness is not a thing, like to be white is not a thing. It was a thing that was created. But like so many white folks have had to like relinquish their culture to be white, right? Like so many white folks don't talk about being Greek or being Italian or being whatever, or don't know like their lineage mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways. And like a lot of that has to do with like the assimilation into being whatever white is, to not be Black, right? And to be distinctly mm-hmm. not that. We are gonna take a quick break. When we come back.
Give me that.
I hate you for writing "give me that" as our toss out here, but give me that. Yo, we're gonna run it right on out of here and I don't know, go to break.
All right, y'all, we've been telling y'all about HBO Max and how they celebrate LGBTQ Pride all Pride Month. But they have this new launch of a Shine On dedicated page to spotlight, honor, and recognize HBO Max's expansive library of LGBTQ stories, characters, and creators. And I'm happy to tell you, listen, the content don't disappear at the end of Pride Month, all right? Because you're listening to this, you know, technically in July, all right? So you can continue celebrating, loving on, engaging with all of the wonderful LGBTQ related content over at HBO Max. They've got a range of stories that highlight storytellers and content creators in our community. I am so excited about the return of Generation. I haven't yet checked out the new episodes, but I'm so excited to delve back into the world. Justice is the lead, one of the leads of that show, and doing a fabulous, amazing job as a young Black queer teen. I'm so jealous. It's fabulous. Make sure y'all check it out.
I gotta tell you, there are three shows that I'm thinking about right now. Number one, I just saw on Instagram that We Are Here season 2 is getting ready to come back. Love, love, love so We Are Here. It's so good. The show that I just flew through, I think I've mentioned on the show before, I've had a really difficult time binging television shows lately. I just completely went through In Treatment with Uzo Aduba. And In Treatment is such a fantastic show. It's 24 episodes. There is a queer young lady on the show that I really, really enjoy. Fantastic. And then also Hacks. Fantastic show. I wasn't just mentioning that earlier because, you know, I'm because of HBO. But anyway, love those shows.
You can click our link to check out all the incredible content HBO Max has curated to celebrate our LGBTQ fabulousness at hbom.ax/fantijuly. All right. It's basically HBO Max with a dot in between the M and the X. /FantiJuly. All right, visit now and sign up for HBO Max to start streaming everything we mentioned and so much more. We've also told you beautiful people about the wonderful folks over at Stitch Fix, okay? I done told y'all, I do not like shopping in person. I like spending money, but I don't like shopping in person. You got to deal with all these other people. You might have to, you know, have a little issue in the changing room, you know, all this other stuff that you can now avoid by engaging with Stitch Fix, okay? They make it easy to find clothes that you love, offering clothing hand-selected by expert stylists for your unique size, style, and budget. Every piece is chosen for your fit and your life, and it's the easy solution to finding what makes you look and feel your best. I got my Stitch Fix box a little while ago, my first one, I should say, because I've gotten a few since then, and it's beautiful because somebody literally handpicks these items. You tell them what your style is, what you're interested in. You want a little bustier situation, you can tell them that. You want animal print, you can tell them that. You don't want to look like somebody's auntie no more, you can tell them that. And they will put in suggestions in your box, and you decide what of the box you want to keep, what you send back. It's a super easy, super easy, super easy process. And there are no subscriptions required. Try Stitch Fix once or set up automatic deliveries. You'll just pay a $20 styling fee for each box, which gets credited toward pieces you keep. And there are no hidden fees ever.
I am on the Stitch Fix website right now because I'm about to do my order. And I'm really intrigued by the way that they deal with the science, what they call the science of size and fit. There's all of these cool ways that you can kind of figure out what's going to be best for you. And they even have a quiz here that you take to kind of help them figure out your style. So really excited to jump into Stitch Fix. Get started today at stitchfix.com/fanti, and you'll get 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. That's stitchfix.com/fanti for 25% off when you keep everything in your fix. stitchfix.com/fanti.
Welcome back to Fanti, Girls of Nig. Last episode, we talked about cancel culture.
You cannot say that on the show.
Why not?
Well, I guess you probably could say that. I wrote that as a joke.
Last
to
episode,
see if you
we
were
talked-
going to notice it. Last episode, we talked about cancel culture and boycotting. And this week, it seems we've got to get into just who we need to be canceling and boycotting. There's an undeniable thing about Christopher Maurice Brown. The music tends to hit. Now, most of my favorite Chris Breezy songs are definitely in his early days, but generally speaking, Chris Brown has enjoyed a lot of success throughout the duration of his career. Even his latest few albums have charted pretty well and sold really well. When I was doing research on that, I was surprised to see how well even like the newer things have still been doing. The other side of the coin, though, is that Chris Brown has a documented history of being an alleged abuser, having anger issues, and being a generally violent person. Most recently, Brown was accused of battery for slapping a woman so hard that it, according to TMZ, we're told the woman, this is their language, I'm just gonna say that, quote, we're told the woman claimed the slap made part of her weave come out, end quote. Note, as of right now, Brown hasn't been formally charged. So here's the question. Why the fuck is Chris Brown still doing anything or allowed to be performing anywhere? Like, how does this continue? How does he get away with this still? But first, what is your background with Chris Brown?
You know, I don't know if I can actually say I have a background with Chris Brown. You know, similar to you, the only thing that comes to mind, and this is, we might as well get into the fan part of the conversation, is the earlier music, right? You know, when he was this young little pretty boy, you know, back in the day, you know, this little butterscotch drop back in the day, you know, he was dancing and stuff. And he just was young, right? And he had that I don't want to say all American, because you know that has a number of different implications. But he was
no, reclaim
like,
it.
Not reclaiming my time. But he just was that regular old dude with like a little bit of hood flair that was like the acceptable amount of hood that like your mama would still accept you dating him because, you know, she know that he could like put a suit on type of energy.
For a while.
Right. And then, you know, we're not there yet. And so that early music always comes to mind. We mentioned Gimme That, Yo, Run It. When you, let me see you.
Run It was the first one. Run it.
Yes. So, you know, that always comes to mind to me. And then obviously, you know, we spoke about this, I think, on our Christmas episode with Kaylin Allen. This Christmas, a now iconic Black Christmas movie that, you know, he starred. Don't give me that screw face. Don't do that.
I'm just not sure if it's iconic. I mean, it's a good movie, but
anyway. But then also two other roles that you might not know. So he was in Stomp the Yard for like 2 minutes. He dies at the beginning of the movie. Spoiler alert. And then he's in this actually really good movie
afterward.
I'm reclaiming stuff. Why can't I?
Okay. Wow.
And then he's in this other movie with like Idris Elba, a couple white people whose names I can't remember right now. T.I. is in that movie, which if we're talking about abusers, yikes.
Wow.
And so those are the things that come to mind when I think back to whatever sort of relationship, you know, with Chris Brown. What about you? Did you go to a concert with Chris Brown or something back in the day?
Well, it's funny. We went through the whole process of producing this episode and it only just now occurred to me that I've met Chris Brown years ago back when I lived in Atlanta. Well, you know. I didn't realize I used to work on a TV show years ago on TBS, and like Chris Brown was one of our performers, and I met him, mind you, incredibly brief, like in passing. It wasn't like we hung out or I interviewed him or anything, but it just occurred to me. I loved the music back in the day. I thought that the songs were so good. I thought that he was such a fantastic performer. We actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I worked at a radio station here as well, and he was one of our, we had like one of those holiday concerts where we have all these different performers, and he came out and performed. This was only like 3 or 4 years ago, maybe five. But he's an incredible performer. And like, I was tweeting about this during the BET Awards. I feel like so many of our younger, like newer, you know, music stars, they're just not great performers, right? And I mean, we can enjoy the songs. And I always say this, like, I really enjoy that there is a space allowed for like a Lil Nas X or a Cardi B or a Meg Thee Stallion. I'm happy that they're able to exist and have space and like have great songs that we love, but they're not good stage performers, right? Like, wow. they're just not. I mean, am I lying?
Because I think it's about context and it's about what and who you're comparing them to. Because I think that there is a conversation to be had about the types of performances that Lil Nas X has been giving us over this last couple years. There is a conversation to be had about the types of performances both Cardi and Meg Thee Stallion have been giving us. Now, I thought you were going to talk about a City Girls performance, which was trash.
I mean, I'm not even going to touch that. We're not going to get into the baby and that chaotic bullshit. Like, but I say all that to say, like, one of the things that was extraordinary about Chris Brown, I'm a person who loves live performances. Some people love albums, some people love whatever. I'm a big live performance person. And like, that's probably why I've always been such a big Beyonce fan, is like the live performance is just, it's undeniable. Chris Brown, he's an undeniably great performer, right? Like the boy can dance, the boy can sing. He, you know, he does it. But like, it's difficult after that, kind of moving into the anti, because there's not a whole lot more fan than that. I should start off by saying that I don't generally believe in the way that we use the prison system. And I know that that seems like I'm making a left-hand turn. I've done stories on the ways that like prison and other forms of detention work in different places around this country and others. And I'm a strong believer that our correctional system doesn't do a whole lot to correct people's behavior or issues. But really is a lot more about punishing people, and it could be used to rehabilitate those people in its care so that they can return to society with a better chance at living lives that aren't disruptive to society, blah, 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 blah. However, Chris Brown is someone who has been on probation, has been given community service, has been sent to rehab, has been sent to jail, has been on parole. He's been supposedly diagnosed with bipolar 2. That's not been confirmed. I say supposedly because that's like reporting, but like we've not heard him say that, I don't believe. I'm just like, there's all of this around Chris Brown. Like he's done so much stuff, but like he continues to thrive. And like, I don't understand how that happens.
So, you know, I guess one of the initial moments that this became an initial conversation, right, in terms of Chris Brown was the relationship around with Rihanna and the abuse that she suffered at his hands, right? If you weren't, you know, if you happen to be a young little child and you weren't around, you don't recall that time period, it was huge. It took up every single headline for weeks at a time at that time. And I remember how we then began having conversations about, like, you know, could he come back from this moment? And what's interesting is that, you know, the albums that immediately came after that, for the most part, did okay. I think the first album that came after that, you know, was a little hiccup, if you will, right? That people weren't necessarily spinning it as much. But the albums that have come since, you know, like you mentioned earlier, have charted. He just won Best Male R&B Artist at the BET Awards this past weekend, which, interesting. You know, interesting timing. But I remember back in 2010... At the BET Awards, actually, he did this performance, you know, part of which was a tribute to Michael Jackson. And he sang Man in the Mirror, but he cried his way through it. Mm-hmm. And so many people at the time, you can go look at the headlines. So many people at the time were like, oh my God, he's like, you know, taking like public accountability, right, for his actions. Like he is processing in real time, you know, the regret of what we know about his career at the time. I remember the conversation at that moment. So many heartstrings were pulled in that moment. And then when Chris Brown and Rihanna got back together, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's reported that Carucci said that he cheated on her with Rihanna, you know, getting back right with Rihanna. She did that little interview with Iyanla and, you know, said all of that information. But I think that was another moment.
Interview was really generous.
Well, that was another moment where I feel like we were having conversations as a culture about like, oh, if Rihanna can forgive him, you know, we should be able to forgive him. Those are just moments that pop in my head when I think about, you know, these ongoing complex conversations as it relates to someone like a Chris Brown, still, for the most part, right, enjoying whatever levels of celebrity and access, despite documented instances of not only assault, but other forms of violence.
So nobody remembers this, and I don't expect anyone to, but I remember being on Access Hollywood. It was during the Olympics that were in Rio de Janeiro, and it was, remember Ryan Lochte?
Oh, swimmer? Yes. You've told this story on the podcast before.
Have I really?
You have. Keep going, though.
First of all, fuck you. Second of all, I don't know that I have. But the short version is, I remember being on Access Hollywood and them talking about, well, when do we have to give, when is it time to forgive Ryan Lochte, right? And it was like 6 days after the whole scandal with him. And like, I can't even remember all of the shit that they did. I remember them like urinating on something and defiling property and then blaming the brown people of Brazil. And I was like, you know, I think the Brazilian government should maybe have something to say about that. I was like, when is it time to like forgive Chris Brown? Now, mind you, I would not say that now. I stand by what I said.
I said in the I said.
Well, I said what I said, but I wouldn't take it back in that moment. But like, I do have to recognize that like, Chris Brown has not really had to pay, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, mind you, I am sure it is a difficult life being him, because it does seem like there are some mental health issues going on there. It does seem like he's been through a lot emotionally, you know, going through being famous. And like, there's plenty of reporting from various different stars about how difficult it is to be a child star and to, you know, come of age in front of everyone and stuff like that. I imagine that the situation that happened with Rihanna in 2012, no, 2000, whatever.
It was like 2008, 2009, something like that.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I'm gonna look it up.
I'm sure that that kind of a thing happening to him, I mean, and he did it himself, right? Like, it's, they had a fight and, you know, there's reporting that they fought back and forth with each other. But I'm sure that that has a significant impact on a person's mental health, right?
For sure.
And so I imagine that Chris Brown has had a lot to deal with. But I just, I can't vibe with it. Now, mind you, the songs are still good, right? And I don't know that, like, I'm like, should I stop playing Chris Brown's music? I kind of think I should.
Well, if you remember when Spotify, a few years ago, I think it was 2018, Spotify, you know, started doing this thing. This is when the Mute R. Kelly movement was at its highest, right? And Spotify came out saying that they were going to remove R. Kelly's music from the platform. People were also saying that Chris Brown should also be, you know, added to that list of people whose stuff should be removed. And, you know, long story short, Spotify ended up, you know, backtracking on, you know, their decision, you know, writ large about that, about removing R. Kelly. But like, these aren't new conversations. And my question in my head is always, if the music that we say that we love, and I'm talking about you and I specifically, right? Because we said we ain't listening to the current music. I don't know the song that apparently he just did with Jasmine Sullivan or whomever. I don't know.
I've heard the newer songs and they kind of hit too. Now he has a new song out with her, and her H-E-R, not Jasmine Sullivan. Back in reference.
Maybe, like, it was her and not Jasmine Sullivan. I don't know what's going on in the streets.
I was
going
to say, I don't know that one, if there is one, but we're both old. You're the oldest person I've ever met. But like, I'm kind of having a moment now on the show thinking, like, I think I need to stop listening to Chris Brown's music. Like, say something while I process.
I mean, here's the thing. You know, it's the same conversation, a similar conversation, at least, with Chris Brown. I mean, with the R. Kelly of it all. And we haven't really, we just kind of glossed over the Carucci of it all. But, like, the documented, you know, behavior that we know that Carucci endured, right? The restraining order that Carucci got, in part, against Chris Brown was due to physical violence. Right? That she mentioned, like, this is a recurring thing, right? And we should also note that, right, he was also in the news most recently, in addition to the current assault situation. People were talking about, a versus potentially between, I think they were trying to figure out a versus competitor for Usher, and people were saying that Chris Brown would probably be the best comparison. But
that's
like,
interesting.
I feel like there is, how many times does a woman have to have Chris Brown's handprint in their face for us as a society to decide that, like, we need to stop platforming him? Like, I think it's interesting that he just won Best Male R&B Artist at the BET Awards this past weekend while all of this is in the news. There is some dissonance at play for that to feel okay.
So I have to admit, I have really evolved on how I feel about Chris Brown. I don't know why none of this was coming to me while we were producing this yesterday, but like, I remember on my old show, if I'm not mistaken, us talking about Chris Brown, and I remember thinking back then, like, you know, this kid was 19 or however old he was when the Rihanna situation happened on Grammy Sunday. And I remember thinking, like, is he ever going to be able to redeem himself? Right? Because I think that so often, especially with Black celebrities, something like that will be career killing. And now, mind you, I don't know that Chris Brown has enjoyed the same, like, mainstream crossover success that he always had. Like, I don't know if that's true. I mean, he's charted and things like that as far as, like, R&B charts and stuff like that. But, like, I held that for a long time because I was really hoping that he would be better. And then, like, it was still one thing after another. I remember him being at Good Morning America and throwing, like, a chair out a window into Times Square.
Oh, yes.
And you know what I mean? And I feel like he was disrespectful to Robin Roberts maybe in that interview or something.
Well, because she had asked him about... This was in the aftermath, not the immediate aftermath, but like a year or two after the Rihanna situation. And she had asked him about it and he was frustrated. He ended up doing a performance, went back into his stormed off set into his, whatchamacallit, what'd you call that
thing? Dressing
room. The dressing room. And that's where, you know, after he ended up leaving, they ended up finding, you know, that he had broken a window and, you know, showed his ass.
I've had to really evolve on Chris Brown because had Chris Brown had the Rihanna situation happen and I don't like referring to it as the Rihanna situation. It kind of feels like calling the Derek Chauvin trial the George Floyd trial kind of thing. But had that whole domestic violence situation been like the end of the issues, I could maybe feel a little bit better of like he made some really bad decisions, you know, rehabbed himself, however that took place, and, you know, has really cleaned up his life and has become a different and better person. But, like, Chris Brown hasn't done any of that, right? And, like, while I was rooting for him and hoping that he would be better and all of those things, and yes, he's a dad now and he's whatever, like, he still doesn't seem like he's gotten any better. And I feel like we teased for a long time and then did the shows on Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson, and R. Kelly and said that we engage them all differently. I feel like I kind of engage Chris Brown, as I'm thinking about it, kind of like I do R. Kelly. I think I have to stop playing his music. You've got to be fucking kidding me. This is Jarrett from the future. Jarrett, on this episode of Fanti, could not have known that the following morning after talking about Bill Cosby, there'd be a breaking headline that, quote, Bill Cosby has, quote, been released, end quote, from prison, according to the Pennsylvania Department of Corrections. Apparently, Bill Cosby got out of jail because they believed he didn't have a fair trial. I can't even process that this just happened because, of course, it happened. We now return to your regularly scheduled episode already in progress.
You know,
and playing the movie. You can't watch This Christmas again.
We'll see. Well, no. Now.
We'll see. This Christmas kind of falls into the Bill Cosby category.
Right. Okay.
It's just not real. You were really hurt about that.
I was because Loretta Devine.
You were really feeling away.
Loretta Devine put her foot in that role. Okay. Regina King put her foot in that role. Okay. Sharon Lee.
I wish y'all could have saw, like, Travell had a moment, like, wait.
I said, I was
come
about to
on
say,
now.
You not about to take it from me, honey. Well, he's only in Stumped Y'all for 2 minutes, so maybe that's negligible. But here's the thing, though. It is, for me, it's, like I said, it's that earlier music is the thing that I, you know, cherish, if you will, if that's the proper word, the most about him. But if you gotta go back to the early 2000s of someone's life to determine, you know, whatever worth they are, right, to you, to your listening habits or whatever, you know, maybe they don't factor that far in to like, maybe you shouldn't be listening to them now. Right. Maybe we shouldn't be giving them the BET award now. Maybe, you know, you shouldn't be going to his concerts. I don't know, Chad.
Do you think you need to stop listening to the music?
I wasn't listening anyway. So, like, wow. We were producing the episode yesterday and I was singing all of these older songs and didn't even play them. You know, and so, like, he's not, listen, you know, I'm still listening to Fantasia, okay? Like, you know, she is on rotation.
What does that have to do?
Fantasia has to do with everything, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But my point is, I think, as we say every episode, like, you know, an individual has to make their own decisions, right, about what they do, how they engage with these people, and their art. I'm not sure Chris Brown's art outweighs his assaults.
Oh, I mean, I don't think anyone's art can outweigh this kind of a track record, right? Now, mind you, he's not Bill Cosby. You know what I mean? But he's still done a lot of bad shit, like a lot of harmful shit, a lot of destructive shit, things that have really had negative impact on a lot of people's lives, especially specifically a lot of women. Go ahead.
I just want to note this popped in my head. You know, one of the articles that I read in anticipation for this, I can't remember the author's name right now, but it was an article at NBC Think about, you know, why, you know, we basically haven't canceled Chris Brown yet. And they talked about the ways in which, you know, one, we know how, you know, stuff is just like, you know, doled out differently based on, you know, race and gender and all of that. And, you know, Chris Brown is a black man and, you know, we don't want to be seen as tan down a black man, you know, who has, you know, built up himself and his career and taken care of his family and all of that other stuff. At the same time, I'm always reminded, as that article did, of the ways in which we have seen black women's careers shocked to shit, okay, because of whatever infraction, whether it is violence, whether it is some social infraction. Chrisette Michelle comes to mind
because she's mentioned, just about to say,
she's mentioned in that article, and you know, now she's on a little bit of a resurgence, if you will.
Is she?
Well, she was on, she was recently
she was on the Terrell Grice show. I don't know that had a resurgence.
Well, but she also, before the Terrell Grice show, she did last
that,
year.
To
she
be
did
clear, that's not shade on, that's not shade on Terrell, because it's a fantastic show. I'm saying, like, being on one show, I don't know that that is a resurgence so much as, like, you
well,
talked
my
about
point
something.
Is that it wasn't the first interview that she had done in the last 2 years, talking about what she has learned, you know, from her whole situation performing at Trump's inauguration in her Basquiat skirt, honey.
But
I'm saying that how much atoning that she has had to do, and the impact of how we, because it was niggas who were supporting her and listening to, you know, Epiphany, honey. Right, the gays ain't invited her to Black Pride no more, you know. And if you can't get the gays to get you to Pride, honey,
I mean, listen,
you really.
I think about,
but my
Carrie
point
Hilson.
Is that, yes, Carrie
I think about
Hilson.
Carrie Hilson having like one line in a song where people thought she was talking about Beyonce. Well, she was talking about Beyonce, but it wasn't her writing. And like, honey, they canceled the girl, right? Like, she was done.
Yes, it's interesting the ways we can, as a culture, literally make a snap decision to disengage with certain people and not do it with others. And I'm not sure that Chris, as you mentioned earlier, Chris Brown's cultural impact, if you will, supersedes, you know, the violences that he continues to allegedly carry out.
Yeah, one of the other pieces that we read that Travell turned me on to is a piece in the Daily Beast. The headline is, "Will We Ever Hold Chris Brown Accountable?" It's written by Kendall Cunningham. And it's a really good piece, kind of like looking at Chris Brown's career and the way he, you know, still seems to continue to thrive. I think I'm going to have to, like, I'm going to have to stop listening to Chris Brown. I feel like it goes against my ethics to not, to keep listening to him. So we want to know what y'all think. Let us know using Twitter or Instagram. You can use the hashtag FantiFam. We'll be jumping in and responding to your posts on Twitter and Instagram from at FantiPodcast and from our personal accounts, Travell Anderson and Jarrett Hill on Twitter. Coming up, why y'all hate us so much in listener feedback and our dishonorable mentions. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. My name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
We're both doctors and...
Nope, just me.
Okay, well, Sydney's a doctor and I'm a medical enthusiast and we create... Okay. Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine.
Every week I dig through the annals of medical history to bring you the wildest, grossest, sometimes dumbest tales of ways we've tried to treat people throughout history.
And lately we do a lot of modern fake medicine because everything's a disaster, but it's slightly less of a disaster every Friday right here on MaximumFun.org as we bring you Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. And remember,
don't drill a hole in your head.
Welcome back to Fireside Chat on KMAX. With me in studio to take your calls is the dopest duo on the West Coast, Oliver Wong and Morgan Rhodes. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm looking for a music podcast that's insightful and thoughtful, but like also helps me discover artists and albums that I've never heard of.
Yeah, man. Sounds like you need to listen to Heat Rocks. Every week, myself and I'm Morgan Rhodes and my co-host here, Oliver Wong, talk to influential guests about a canonical album that has changed their lives.
Guests like Moby, Open Mike Eagle, talk about albums by Prince, Joni Mitchell, and so much more.
Yo, what's that show called again?
Heat Rocks, deep dives into hot records.
Every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
Welcome back, beautiful people. We're going to get into our listener feedback segment, your opportunity to tell us how much you love us. We got an email this week from Monica, also known as Monica. Responding to our boycotting episode. Monica says, hello, Jarrett and Travelle. Thanks for proving an excellent show every week. I hope I'm fabulous. I'm writing in hopes to instill a little empowerment around micro boycotting, or possibly what can be called passive boycotting. Mostly discussion centered around our conversation on chicken fillet. Many businesses, especially fast food, thrive on repeat purchases. There's a reason anything and everything has a subscription these days. These companies don't make their money on big one-time events. They want daily/weekly purchasers. They want regulars with habits. Normal folks dropping habits can and does add up. Like you mentioned with the Montgomery bus strike, it was a lot of people, but it also went on for about a year. Longevity was just as important as participants. The buses knew the money was gone, but also learned that it wasn't coming back. As they say, the single raindrop never feels responsible for the flood. The way you talked about your purchases not mattering smacked of that disenfranchised tone people use when they say why they don't vote. But look at Georgia going blue. That was done by the many and the few. That idea that, quote, my one little action doesn't matter, end quote, is an intentionally prolific cultural thought brought on through advertising. Making people care less makes us spend more. I'm not about to tell you what to eat or buy or when or how. You do enough just by speaking up and being your fabulous selves. However, I will tell you that your purchases and your actions do matter because you matter. P.S. Their chicken ain't that good anyway.
All that to end it with a lie. I will say, Monica. I'm going with Monica because I'm really kind of into it. I'm gonna be calling her Gunica in a minute, and
yes,
like
Gunica.
I really don't need to do that. Yes. Anybody named Monica becomes Gunica in my head, and anyway. I think you're right, Goon. I just think that you almost spit your water on. I think you're right, Gunica. I think that it is kind of similar to the voting situation. I can't really disagree with anything except the postscript here about their chicken ain't that good anyway. I ain't got nothing. I don't know. It's difficult. I just gave up Chris Brown for y'all today. I don't know that I'm giving up two things, okay? I'm trying. Being a good liberal is a lot of work. I say that all the time. It is a lot of work to be a good liberal. But goddammit, sometimes I want chicken strips or chicken nuggets or the macaroni and cheese or whatever. Like, come on.
I will say, I pulled this email because I did like what Monica had to say about this idea of micro boycotting or passive boycotting, because I do think it shifts it shifts my perspective a little bit about what we were talking about. I mean, I still feel how I feel, but I love this greater context that Monica provides in terms of like looking at, you know, the choices you make about where you shop, you know, and how often you shop there, how they can be, you know, impactful, if even, you know, in a small way. So shout out to you, Monica.
Are you telling us that someone changed your mind?
No, I'm not actually. It shifts my perspective a little bit about what we were talking about. But hold on. Changing my perspective and changing my mind are two different things. My mind is still the same. You just added a little bit more context, which I appreciate, Monica. We've also got an email here from Jason, who says...
I love how you tried to just move right on from that, but go ahead on. Go ahead, Jason.
Jason says, I laughed so hard at Travell pronouncing LGBT as leg booty. Lately, I have been pronouncing cishet like cis... Shay? Yes. Sis Shay. Love comical mispronunciations. Travell really tickles my funny bone. All the best. Jason, a supportive Sis Shay.
Thank you so much, Jason. You can tell who pulls the emails. I wanted to let you know, like, last time we were here, I was telling y'all that I was getting ready to host the Vision Awards. And we actually got donations from folks saying that they heard about it on Fansite. So for those of you that did that, I really, really appreciate it. I almost found myself saying leg booty on Vision and like very quickly had to like stop myself from saying that because there was no context for that and I did not have the time to explain it. But I love that. All right, it's time for us to get into our dishonorable mentions. These are the stories or people that caught our attention this week that deserve a call out, either for their good or their stupid. I have a list of things. I'm just going to run through them quickly.
Yes, you do. I don't know
because we've been away for 2 weeks. Number one, I want to shout out the PBS show called Say It Loud. It is hosted by Evelyn from the internet. So you might know her from YouTube. She's a big social media star.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Evelyn Champagne Kang, honey.
Did you really think that? You didn't think that. You didn't. Say It Loud on PBS, hosted by Evelyn Champagne King from the internets. But also the new co-host on the show is Victor Jackson, someone I've talked about here on the show.
Yes,
he performed
Victor.
Actually at Vision. He's a fantastic singer and performer and choreographer and creative director. He's great. So shout out to them.
He's part of the candy-coated clique.
Yes, he is. Click with a CK there at the end, or QUE, not a T. Want to also say that Hacks is a really great show over on HBO Max, I believe. HBO Max, I know that they're one of our spots. Are you still laughing at Clint? I was trying to move on like it didn't happen.
I'm sorry.
Listen, Candy's a freak.
Keep going.
Candy's a freak. You never know. You just gotta ask the tough questions. Hacks, I've seen so many of you talking about it on social media, and I was like really reluctant because the trailer just did not move me. Fantastic show. Brilliantly written. Funny. All of that. On Hulu, another honorable mention, there's a new documentary coming out called Summer of Soul. It's the first releasing from Onyx Collective, that is a new collective over at Disney that is really focusing on Black and Brown creators. Summer of Soul is their first documentary. It's executive produced by Questlove. It is of this extraordinary concert series that happened back in the 60s or 70s in New York. It was filmed, but like no one ever got to see it. And this is like a concert documentary kind of chronicling how that event happened and all of those things. It was really, really fantastic. And I think you'll enjoy it. It's a great concert doc. I want to give an honorable mention to Britney Spears. Y'all don't hear me piping up for like rich white women a whole lot, but this Free Britney Spears situation is outrageous. I did not do that as a pun for those of you that thought I did, but whatever. And then finally, I want to shout out Carrie Jean Raymond. He's going to be the first Black designer to show at Paris Couture Week. He's a really great designer. I saw his post today on Instagram, and I'm just really excited for him. The fact that we're still having first Black people doing things like this is kind of absurd, but also part of the reality. Those are mine.
All right, my honorable mentions. I'm going all sports today, okay? All Olympics.
Wow.
listen, honey, the black women are doing what needs to be done, okay, yes, at these Olympic trials. And I want to shout out three of them. So first and foremost is going to go to Sha'Carri Richardson, who, you know, we didn't have we did a bye week last week, so I didn't have a chance to wax poetic about her, you know, queer bisexual excellence that she just displayed in her FloJo nails, you know, and her wig and all of that. Yes. So shout out to Sha'Carri Richardson for doing the damn thing. But two new people in the news for you know, breaking records and doing fabulous things this week. Gwen Berry, who is a hammer thrower in the track and field, you know, competitions or whatever, who won, I believe, second or third place, will be, you know, on the U.S. Olympic team and used the opportunity on the podium to protest and did not, you know, signal or whatever, you know, during the national anthem, held up a shirt that said activist athlete. So sending her all of the wonderful love. And last but not least, okay, we give it a good low country shout out to Raven Hulk Sanders.
Come on, low country.
Okay, she is a shot put star. She broke a record or her personal record or something like that. Made the U.S. Olympic team, you know, and gave a shout out to Charleston, South Carolina. Okay, honey, while doing it. So shout out to her, honey. We here, okay? Chuck Town!
I'm getting the fuck out of here. It's time for...
Black History is happening every day.
All right, so we all love a good choir moment, but we're not going to do that today. We'll do it next week. Jordan doesn't know that we're doing this, but you might have heard on our show last week that we're looking for a new producer because Jordan, sadly, is leaving us. Travelle has been a tyrant to work underneath, and she's been able to finally get out from underneath their thumb. Jordan is moving on to fantastic things, and we're really happy for her. Jordan, you are our Black History. It's happening every day. We really appreciate the contribution that you've made to Fanti here over the last year and some change that you've been our producer. You leave really big shoes to fill, and you've added a lot of perspective, a lot of really critical thought and ideas to some of the conversations that we've had. You guys don't know how many times Jordan has, you know, stopped this after a taping and said, hey, can you guys add this in? Or Jordan, maybe this is something else you should be thinking about. And so we love Jordan for that, and her contribution to the show has just been invaluable.
We just wanted to take a moment to give you your flowers, Jordan. She's probably breaking out in a sweat right now. You know, she don't like to be the center of attention, honey, okay? And so we just want to take a moment to thank you for helping to build this show into what it is. We wouldn't be as amazing and fabulous and excellent without your brilliance as well. So thank you for everything. We're wishing you well as you go on to bigger. And I hope it actually is better. I know we've set a high bar. I know we did. But hopefully whomever you go to work with, to come, don't be making that face at me, Jared. Whoever you come to work with, you know, in the future, that they will cherish your brilliance and your excellence as much as we do.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't be here without Jordan and all of the work that she does every week. So thank you so much, Jordan. I know that she's turning beet red. She's already put in the chat to us, Ermagerd, and I love y'all. I actually wouldn't be surprised if Jordan cut all of this out of the show, right? Just because of who she is. We've tried to get Jordan to be on the show multiple times. She wanted to do this A segment today. We were like, we can do whatever you want to do. She didn't want to be a part of that. Like, Jordan does not like the spotlight, but us still talking about her right now, she might cut this out. Travelle, your new podcast for EW is wrapping up this week. Is that right?
Well, it actually wrapped up last week, but we didn't do, you know, a fresh episode. So just another shout out, Untold Stories Beyond the Binary, a limited series podcast and video over at Entertainment Weekly, all about non-binary visibility. Go check it out. Go give a like on the videos on the YouTube pages and all of that. We wrapped it up last week with a interview with Demi Lovato on the podcast version. So if you're interested, please go check it out.
Nice. If this conversation piqued your interest and you want more of this,
good.
check out episodes that have a related conversation. The Michael Jackson, R. Kelly episode that... It took us 40 episodes to do that. It's episode 44. We also have a Bill Cosby episode, which we referenced in this conversation a little bit earlier. Go check those out because they're great. Also, as a reminder, don't know if you guys heard, but Fanti is looking for a new producer because Jordan's leaving. You can, for more information on how you can apply for that job and be a part of the Maximum Fun family and the Fanti fam, visit MaximumFun.org/jobs for more info about the role or to apply. That's it, folks. We really thank you for listening. For those of you on Apple Podcasts, we ask that you give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Let us know what you think about the show. I saw one of the reviews earlier today that said, "I don't even skip the commercials because you guys are great." And I was like, that's very sweet. Thank you. If you have a comment or suggestion about this week's show, tweet at us using at Fanti Podcast as our handle, both on Twitter and on Instagram. You can use hashtag Fanti Fam.
And you can always send us an email at fanti@maximumfund.org. And if you'd like to become a financially contributing supporter of the work that we do here, you can always join at maximumfund.org/join. Our music, as always, is brought to you by the one and only Corece. That's Core.ece, wherever you get slay-worthy audio. He's got a new track out with Honey Dijon that you should check out on all of the streaming platforms. And our graphics done by the wonderful folks Ashley Nguyen and the folks over at Moonhouse Creative.
Our producers are Laura Swisher and
Jared. Come on.
I'm sorry, I'm okay. I got people coming to my house. I gotta wrap up. Jordan Cow. This is a production of Maximum Fun.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
I have a song for you.
Look at
not it. A song for you, no more.
Hard to say goodbye.
Oh, a voice to men callback.
Yes, hit the note, Jordan.
Hit it, girl. We hear you.
Oh, and Jordan, we'll take.
Oh.
Thank you.
Don't you cut that out, Jordan.
I really wanted her to go, I don't know. Like, just keep going, like, for way too long.
To be my sunshine after the rain. Hey. I wanted to do the Patti LaBelle version when she was on Different World, but I don't have the range.
Wow. Wait, I don't know that I... Do I know that one?
It's from the finale, right? Isn't that... Or no, she sang End of the Road. Never mind. Oh, that's what I wanted to sing. Oh, you know what? I'm so sorry. Wow. Scroll wrong song.
I think that's the blooper, Jordan.